You're listening to the audio program Host and Guest, hosted by me, Rick Katchke. Now here's myself, Rick Katchke. Yes, welcome to the 21st edition of Host and Guest, Blackjack. I'm your host, Rick Katchke, and today I'm joined by Matt Belknap of EspecialThing.com, AST Records, and the hit podcast Never Not Funny. I'll have the interview with Matt in just a moment. This past weekend, I was cruising the streets of suburban Milwaukee with my girlfriend, and as we passed the Arby's that is in her neighborhood, I noticed on the marquee they were advertising that there is now free internet at this particular Arby's. And the thought of this just really appealed to me, because no one is taking their laptop computer into Arby's. It's not like a Starbucks or any coffee place where it's cool to be seen there. You're going to hang out. Even if you're not eating or drinking, it's okay. You can just be sitting there. Nobody goes to Arby's for that reason. Who is working on their blog at Arby's? Who is doing anything at Arby's other than enjoying roast beef sandwiches? And if this is their marketing idea to bring in a new crowd, what they need to do is forget about attracting a new crowd. They need to go back to what made it work, the 5 for 5. They need to bring back that oven glove mascot, and they need to sell more of those defective oven gloves that they had to recall because people's hands were being burnt. That's the Arby's I love. That's the Arby's I adore. We'll have Matt Belknap in just a moment. My guest on today's program is Matt Belknap of EspecialThing.com and AST Records. He's also the producer of the hit podcast Never Not Funny. I spoke with him at the Lakeshore Theater in Chicago prior to him recording Paul F. Tompkins' new album for AST Records. Welcome to another edition of Host and Guest. Today I'm joined by Matt Belknap. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Matt, you are the founder of EspecialThing.com.
Yes.
Could you explain the website for those that might not be familiar with it?
It's an online community, a message board for comedy lovers, people who are particularly interested in alternative comedy. It started in 2001, and you know, it's mostly focused on, like, it started kind of like Tenacious D, Mr. Show, and it just kind of grew from there. It just any kind of comedy like that is usually considered alternative or edgy or different.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's got, I don't know, membership in the low thousands, I think, as far as I can tell. And yeah, it's just for people who love to talk about comedy.
Now, from there, you springboarded into AST Radio, where you seem to get to know a lot of different comedians, and in particular, Jimmy Pardo. How did you establish those relationships with comedians?
They found out about me because of the website.
They came to you.
I was I'm too shy of a person to just come up, you know, like walk up to strangers and say, "Hey, I want to interview you." I'm not saying you did anything wrong, by the way. What you're doing is great. I'm saying I have a problem.
What are some other criticisms that you have of me?
Well, we just met. I don't have a full list for you, but by the end of the night, we'll see what we can do. I would write recaps of shows in LA, mostly at M Bar, the Tuesday night comedy show, Comedy Death Ray. I would write long recaps of what each comic did, and the comics started reading these recaps and started mocking me from the stage, and so I sort of became known as that. And but I became friends with Scott Aukerman and BJ Porter and Chris Hardwick, Mike Furman, a few people in that world sort of befriended me.
Sure.
And then when they moved Death Ray to the UCB, Scott asked me if I wanted to produce the Late Show after that, and that's kind of how I got more involved. But right around that time, I think, is when Scott said, "Hey, you should do a because Jimmy Pardo was hosting a whole bunch of shows in 1 week, and it was Jimmy Pardo week, and and he said you should do a an interview with Jimmy, you should, or you should, you know, so, you know, it was a print interview, but So that's how Jimmy and I met, and we sat down and talked. And
what was the evolution from there to come up with Never Not Funny, one of the most popular podcasts in the world?
Thank you. Well, I guess we did an AST radio with Jimmy before that Jimmy Pardo week, now that I'm remembering. And that was really fun. It was just really fun to sit down and talk to him. He's I mean, as you know, because you've done it too, he's a really fun guy to talk to, and he's very good at... Not only is he very funny, but he's good at facilitating humor
right in
a conversation, and he makes you feel like you're funny. And
exactly,
that's like a really unique talent of his, and which is why he's a good interviewer and a good host. But after that first one, we had been talking about, or I don't know, before after that, I was saying, you know, he was doing Running Your Trap at the UCB, or first at MBAR and then at the UCB, and I thought he should make that into a podcast, just mm-hmm. Record that and put it out for people to hear outside of LA. And as we talked about it, after doing the AST radio, we just felt like maybe it would be more fun and more interesting to just actually have a separate show that's the podcast and leave Running Your Trap alone. And that's what we did. We just it was the same setup as the first interview I did with him, around his dining room table, same equipment. We just set up the microphones and talked, and it was so much fun that we just never really wanted to stop.
Now, you're in the process of wrapping up the fourth season of Never Not Funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Has there been a particular episode or guest that has been your favorite throughout the run?
That's hard to say. But just recently, we had Janet Varney on, who had never been on before. And we had just been hanging out with her in San Francisco at Sketchfest. And she's super funny on Jimmy's wavelength, and I guess my wavelength, and I just had so much fun doing that one. That was like
sure.
one of the most fun ones to do. But I don't know. I've really enjoyed the whole thing. I mean, they kind of blend together a little sometimes, but I think it's it's hard to sort of single out any one thing.
Oh, is there a fat man in here?
No.
No. Okay.
Sorry.
I think we're leaving that in.
Yeah, leave that in. I could gain a little weight if
I mean, we have some time.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like throughout the run of Never Not Funny, you've taken sort of a more active role in getting bits out there, getting your jokes in. Have you found that you're more comfortable with your sense of humor and your level by being around these comedians over the past several years?
Yeah, I'm definitely more comfortable, but I feel like the atmosphere of the show is that there's really nothing that's too stupid to say out loud, and that's like that's the way I like it.
Sure.
I think that's the way Jimmy likes it, and you know, we both, me more than him, maybe say just really stupid things and to be funny. I mean, we enjoy making each other laugh. We enjoy making ourselves laugh, and in a 90-minute show, maybe every single thing you say isn't going to be funny, but if you're always looking for where you could be funny while not interrupting, you know, mm-hmm. the flow of the conversation too much, because I guess we do interrupt ourselves a lot. I feel very, you know, comfortable and free just being a jackass. I mean, I think that's how we look at it, is like we're just two jackasses amusing ourselves, and it makes us laugh, and so hopefully it makes other people laugh.
Now, you've done a series of live episodes in mm-hmm. San Francisco, and I think also maybe at the UCB Theater?
Yeah, we did a couple at the UCB in season one, and then we did a little quasi-live one at our studio, which has a little bit of seating. For the end of season two, for the 100th episode, we had like 20 fans come in, but we want to do more of that. That's sort of, especially after San Francisco, we felt like that was so much fun that we want to find more out of town.
Yeah,
spots.
I was gonna say maybe in the bigger markets that you know or people are subscribing from this area,
yeah.
like a Chicago or in New York.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think when we do a show in LA, which we definitely will continue to do. The people who show up are the people who go to all of Jimmy's shows at the UCB, and they know him well, and you know it's a great fan base, but they have plenty of opportunities to see him, and going to San Francisco made us realize, and that was a festival too, so it was a nice you know, a lot of people were there for other reasons, but also like us. But it just felt like, wow, if we go somewhere that we aren't usually, you know, performing, then there's going to be a lot more excitement about it because yeah. these people don't usually have the chance to see Jimmy or I.
Now, after the start of Never Not Funny, I believe you founded AST Records.
Yeah.
What have been the... I don't know the timeline.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I don't either, actually. I think it was... Yeah, I think technically it was after. That was 2006 we started the podcast, and the label started in 2007, so yeah.
What have been the biggest challenges or things that you hadn't expected by starting your own record label?
You know, the business stuff is horrible. I don't think of myself as a businessman, and I don't like the paperwork and, you know, doing taxes and bullshit like that. Well, I don't know if I can swear, but...
Oh, you can.
Okay.
Feel free.
That fucking shit sucks. but I, you know, we really, Ryan and I just... Ryan McManaman is my partner in the label, and we're both just fans of comedy, and we didn't really think about the business side of it as much as we just felt like there's a lot of great comedy happening in front of us that, you know, seems like it's going unnoticed by the outside world, and maybe we can help get it out there.
Let's get our names attached.
Let's get on this gravy train before it actually leaves the station. but yeah, it's... So we really, it's still very much a small mom and pop, or maybe pop and pop operation. not to imply our relationship is anything other than professional.
The label's original name was My Two Dads.
That would have been a great name if we hadn't already had the website. God damn it, that's a good idea. I mean, that the t-shirts alone would make us rich, I think.
Just of you two.
My Two Dads Records, and it could just be very, like, 80s with, like a triangle in the background for no reason.
Now, you're here in Chicago to record and produce Paul F. Tompkins' sophomore disc on your label.
Yeah.
Is this the first album that you've recorded outside of California?
Yeah, it is. First one outside of L.A., as far as I know.
Where was Doug Benson's recorded?
Doug's was recorded at the Improv in Hollywood.
Okay.
So, yeah. I unless I'm totally blanking on something, I think we recorded all of them. Most of them were at the UCB in L.A., and we did a couple... Well, we did Doug's at the Improv, and Greg Proops, we're releasing his next CD. That was at the Improv. This is a whole new territory. This is like...
Sure.
That's why I'm thinking about paperwork and taxes, because like this is all like this is my first business trip in my life. Like I've never taken a business trip before.
Sure.
So,
are there any concerns on your part with it not being an LA crowd?
No, we stay out of, first of all, we stay out of the performer's way as much as possible. But Paul is, I can't imagine him not killing. And this was his idea too. I mean, I wasn't like, "Hey, let's do Chicago for no reason."
I'm booking you at the Lakeshore yeah. Theater for your next disc.
We're both gonna fly 2,000 miles or 1,500 miles so that we can record a comedy CD. Yeah, he had the date and he thought it was a good venue. Now that we're here, I can see it's a great venue. Mm-hmm. And I have all the faith in the world that he's gonna do a great job. And we're doing two shows. So we have that backup.
It is St. Patrick's Day, the St. Patrick's Day weekend,
yes.
So you're running into the risk of
something I didn't realize until I arrived in town and saw everyone wearing
I did the same
crazy
thing.
Outfits.
Now you alluded to Greg Proops. Are there any other upcoming projects on AST Records that you feel comfortable mentioning?
Sure. There's Comedy by the Numbers is a book that Eric Hoffman and Gary Rudorin, Eric was a Mr. Show writer, they wrote this bible of comedy cliches basically, and it's really funny, and we started off saying let's just record a bunch of people reading excerpts from this, and it snowballed into this crazy, epic, out of control project that's taken almost, I think, over a year now to make.
But. Yeah, because I remember it was like, yeah, by Christmas you should have it out.
Yeah, we thought that was a realistic goal, but it just, we realized the live recording alone wasn't enough to satisfy the fans of the book and fans of all the people involved. There's Bob Odenkirk, David Cross, Sarah Silverman, Janine Garofalo, Zach Galifianakis, and a million other awesome comedians are on this thing.
Some other up and coming stars.
Yeah, it's Scott and BJ are on it. I don't want to leave people out, but it's like a who's who of awesome people, and so we're really taking our time and making sure it's actually turned into about 50-50 live and then studio stuff. There's a lot of studio stuff now, so that's almost done. That'll be out probably in April, and Proops, Paul's next one. We're talking to a bunch of people in LA about other things I don't really want to reveal yet, but but I think we're probably going to have another year of like putting out 6 albums.
Excellent.
So it's going to pick up dramatically in the next few months.
Now, every week on the program, we always ask for some recommendations. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, an album recommendation that isn't on AST Records.
Huh. Well, you know, one of my favorite comics, my friend Matt Bronger, just recorded a CD with Comedy Central that I have no doubt will be amazing. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it'll probably be out in the next 6 months, and I know it'll be fantastic because he's fantastic.
Yeah.
More immediately, John Mulaney. I haven't heard his album yet, but he's one of my favorites too, and he just, I think his album just came out, or it's about to come out on Comedy Central. So definitely check out John Mulaney and Matt Bronger.
Now, film recommendation.
Oh, God. I have a 6-month-old baby, and I've seen 2 movies in the theater since she was born, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask, but I will...
It doesn't have to be recent.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
Or it could be home movies of your
favorite. Well, those are not available for public consumption. I'm very private about that, and she's well-protected by my craziness. But, no, last year I loved Man on Wire. It was a documentary... about if any of your listeners don't know, it's about a French guy who in the 70s broke into the World Trade Center in the dead of night and strung up a line and tightrope walked from one tower to the other, and how he pulled this off, which is obviously it's totally illegal, and how he pulled it off is a great story and really cool movie. So yeah, check out Man on Wire. I think it's on video now.
Anything else that you feel like you should recommend, get out there in the world?
Oh, man, I wish I had prepared for that question. I don't. Nothing comes to mind. We're in Chicago, so you know what? This American Life is great. That's Chicago Public Radio.
The live version of it will be in theaters in
yes,
a few weeks, so
yes,
check
it will.
That out.
Yeah, I only thought of that because I was just listening to it on the plane. And I don't have much time in my life to listen to radio or audio or any other podcasts. I feel bad because I know a lot of podcasters and I don't listen to their shows because I don't have time, but
I'm not offended.
Good. You shouldn't be, because there's a lot better shows than this one that I'm not listening to. That's a joke for everyone out there. I love this show, Host and Guest. I think I heard the first one. Was Jimmy the first episode?
He was the second episode.
Second. Okay. I heard it, loved it.
He's what he basically made the show, because I was able to tell people, I got Jimmy Pardo on it, so you should be on it too.
You might be unique in the world of podcasting for being doing an audio podcast that doesn't go on and on and on for hours. Because like we do that, obviously, and it's very self-indulgent. Hold on, a fat guy's coming in.
Hey. Sorry. Are you going to be much longer?
Yeah, we're just wrapping up now.
Okay.
Like 2 minutes.
Sorry.
You got to put on some weight.
I guess you can leave that in. That was Ryan, my partner. But what was I saying?
You were praising me.
Oh, yeah. It was, I like that your show is short and sweet. It's like, here it is, get to the point. This is probably your longest one because I ramble on a lot. But,
no, this is wonderful.
Okay, good. But I like that you're just giving people a quick hit of audio information entertainment, infotainment, I'm going to call it.
Thank you.
It's a new word that I just made up.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being on the program and praising me.
No problem. So my pleasure.
Thanks. Thanks again to Matt Belknap for appearing on the show. Be sure to check him out at aspecialthing.com, and also look for Never Not Funny at pardcast.com. Now, every day, people come to me and they say, Rick, I love the theme song at the end of the show. Who does it again? And I always tell them it's by Tiny Folk. And then they ask, where can I hear him? You go to CLLCT.com, search for Tiny Folk, TINYFOLK, all one word, and you can check out all of his music, all for free. So check it out at CLLCT.com.
I've been your host, Rick Hatchkey, and this has been the 21st edition of Host and Guest.